And to on Mother's Day, spend the morning talking about how great mothers are, how they just do everything right, walk on water, can maybe feed 10 people with one egg. I mean, one piece of bacon, one egg, and one piece of toast, feed the whole family. We just talk about how great they are. And then a month later on Father's Day, we talk about all the things daddies don't do and how they need to straighten up and get everything right. So I'm aware of that, so I'm going to change that. At this point, I'm going to preach on how sorry mothers are. Huh? No, I'm actually going to split the middle. Turn, if you will, to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Exodus, chapter 20. Interesting commandment that, it's, that we generally take maybe a little bit for granted. As we look at the fifth commandment, it's one of those interesting verses. You know, there are a few verses in the Bible that pretty much everybody knows. Regardless of your religion, regardless of your background, that pretty much everybody knows and even knows by heart. I did this at the first service this morning, and I think it was unanimous. How many of you in here, either as a parent has said it, or as a child has heard it, that either your mother or father looked at you and told you this, or you looked at your child and said this, or both? You know, the Bible says you're supposed to honor your father and mother. How many of you told your kids that or got told that? What a thought. It's just one of those verses that, you can have the, you can be in the biggest group of pagans in the world, and they know that verse. I mean, that verse comes in handy. You know, it's a good one. I don't know how often, how many of you ever looked at your kids and said that and it actually worked? Never mind. Don't raise your hand on that. Because if you did, I wonder how you said it, because it doesn't work when I say it to mine. But this is an interesting commandment for a lot of reasons. That just the very structure of the commandments. I believe if you read the Ten Commandments, that the commandments are they're basically given to us as kind of building blocks for life of how to conduct our life. And if you look at them, it's kind of interesting how they're laid out. The first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. They talk about honoring the Lord's Day. They talk about not using His name in vain. They talk about having no other God above Him. And so they're about God. The other commandments, the last five commandments, talk about not to steal, not to lie, not to commit adultery, those kind of things. And so those are good things. As I thought about it, let's be honest, most of us, if I were to say to you, God's given us 10 rules for living. God has given us, and let's say you've lived in a hole, you've never heard the Ten Commandments, never read the Bible, anything, and you were completely, this was completely unknown material to you. And I said to you, God gave us 10 rules for living, 10 rules that will make your life better. Be honest, if you think about that, how many of us would have honestly said that God included something about honor your father and mother? I just don't think most of us would have included that if we didn't know the list. We wouldn't have thought that God would have put it very high priority. We would have said, He said, don't use His name in vain, go to church, don't steal, don't kill, those kind of things. But honor your father and mother probably wouldn't have made the list if most of us were, again, just totally uneducated and said, what are God's 10 rules for living? What are God's 10 pieces of advice? God's given us 10 commandments. What are they? I just don't think most of us would have included honor your father and your mother. But I think there's some clue as to why God does that when you look at the structure of the 10 commandments. If you look at them, again, first four commandments are all about our relationship with God. First four tell us about how to handle His day, how to handle His name, what our relationship with Him is to be. That's what they're about. They deal strictly with our relationship with God. Then commandments 6 through 10 deal strictly with our relationship with other people. Tells us not to lie to them, tells us not to kill them, those kind of things. They deal strictly with our relationship with others. That commandment right in the middle, that fifth commandment, though, slips in there, and you got four that talk about our relationship with God, five on the end that talk about our relationship with other people, and one right in the middle that talks about our relationship with our parents and how it should be governed. As I thought about that, if you think about that structure, you begin to see something, I think, of how God intends the things to work. If you look at that, it's based on our relationship with Him. And so those are those first four commandments, how we should relate to God. then that middle commandment has all to do about family. Before we can worry about how we treat others, no kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, it begins with that relationship with parents. And so there's that transition from God to parents to others. And so there's a very high priority, I think, when you begin to think about that, that right after God says, this is how you should relate to me, this is how you should treat me, the very next thing God says, and again, I don't think most of us, if we were laying out the commandments, would have done it this way. I don't think that the very next thing, after we talked about how we should relate to God, I don't believe the very next commandment most of us would have written would have been, honor your father and your mother. I don't think that would have been there. I think most of us even may have elevated don't kill ahead of that. Don't lie. Again, if honoring your father and mother even made the list, I would be surprised if most of us were making the list and saying, this is what we think God would give for 10 rules for living. But right after the relationship with God comes this commandment that says, this is how I want you to treat your parents. Now, I don't know about you, but that says something to me. Above don't steal, above don't, and I'm not saying the commandments are necessarily ranked in order, but I think it's interesting that right after 4 they say how you deal with God, the very next thing God says, before he says don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't covet, the very next thing he says is honor your father and your mother. And so as I look at these 10 statements with the mindset that these are 10 ideas for living, these are God's 10 building blocks for life, this lesson for life, I believe is found right here sort of in the middle, with honor thy father and thy mother. And there's three things I want you to look at with me this morning about this commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. I think it's really enlightening as we think about how that we live our life. First thing that is extremely important that we understand about honor thy father and mother, and I think this is pretty obvious, is the first thing about this commandment is that it's a principle. Notice what it says. He says, honor thy father and thy mother. There is no such thing as a perfect parent. Honor thy father and thy mother, period. Honor thy father and thy mother, period. Not comma, not semicolon, not dash, not parentheses. Honor thy father and thy mother, period. End of discussion, end of debate. In the question, God says there is a principle at work here. Not honor your father and mother until you're 18. Not honor your father and your mother until you move out of their house. Not honor your father and your mother when you want something. Not honor your father and your mother when you think they're listening. But honor thy father and thy mother, period. That's the end of the statement. It is a principle that bypasses everything else in the world. Not honor thy father and thy mother if you're American. Not honor thy father and thy mother if you're white or red or black or yellow, polka dotted or green from Mars. Not honor thy father and thy mother if they were rich or poor. Not honor thy father and thy mother if they gave you everything you wanted. Not honor your father and mother if you lived under a bridge or lived in the finest house in town. Just simply honor thy father and thy mother, period. It's it. That's the end of the discussion. There's no such thing as it. And what he's saying to us is very simple. You honor your father and your mother in spite of their weaknesses, their imperfections, their flaws, their problems. They have some. And let me tell you something. Your mother and father have flaws. Young people in particular, listen to me this morning. Your mother and father have flaws, but have you ever heard of genetics? You know what that means? Huh? That means your mother and father have flaws, but guess what? They passed them on to you. Hello? We found a set of car keys yesterday at Springfest. I knew immediately who they belonged to. One of two people. But one of two people. Genetics were at work. Yeah, one of two. Genetics were at work. Genetics were at work. Listen, you don't have perfect parents, but listen, we're not perfect as children. We all make mistakes. People say, I've actually heard people say, you mean I've got to honor my parents? You know what kind of parents I have. Do you know how they are? Do you know what they do? Do you know how they act? Do you know this, 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 this? Yeah, so what? God doesn't say, honor them here. God, the Bible says, you honor your father and your mother. End of the, that's the principle. That's the end of the discussion in God's Word. As you look at this, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. Some of you may not like this statement, but I'm going to be brutally honest with you. There are some parents that are not worthy of honor. Okay? There are some that are not worthy of honor, in my opinion, anyway. There are some that are low-life, no-account scoundrels that are more in line in my world for a good whooping. Okay? In my world. But in God's world, in Exodus chapter 20, he says, repeat it with me, honor your father and your mother. Not if you think they're worthy, not if everybody else thinks they're worthy. The principle is very simple. You honor your father and your mother. What it's simply saying is, it's not saying you honor their mistakes. It's not saying you honor their flaws. It's not saying you honor their imperfections. It's saying you honor their position. Listen, as we go about our life, and I think the reason for that is because how we relate, how we treat, how we honor our parents affects every other relationship that we have. I think it bears, and that's something for parents that we've got to understand. One of the things we need to understand as parents is the way that our children, that we allow them to treat us, will flow out into the school. It will flow out into the way they honor others. It will flow out in the way they treat other people. Listen, we are a product of our upbringing. And so it's extremely important that we as parents learn that we teach our children to honor us. And it's extremely important that as children that we honor our parents because that's how life is built. Teenagers, young people in here, those of you who are around dating age, about to be dating age, parents of young children, write this down and remind them of this somewhere down the road. You watch for it. Parents, teenagers, listen to me. Young people, listen to me very clearly. I promise you this. I know some of you, when you're looking for a date, this is what some of the things you look for. What kind of car does he drive? Is he cute? Is she pretty? You know, does he have money? That's not a bad one. You might want to look into that one close. Does he have money? A lot of things. What's he going to be when he grows up? Let me tell you the number one, the first thing you need to know about that young man, that young lady, is first of all, are they a Christian? That's the very first thing you want. I don't care how pretty he is, how pretty she is, if they don't know the Lord, keep looking. Keep hunting. There's better ones out there. Keep digging. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of fish in the ocean. Keep looking. Some of us don't have fish in the ocean stink. Okay? Keep looking. First thing you look for is he's a Christian. Let me tell you right up there in the top two or three then of what you need to look for after whether or not you find out if the person you eyeballing is a Christian. Find out how they treat their parents. Because I will promise you, if you are dating someone that does not honor their parents and you're foolish enough to think they're going to honor you, I got some oceanfront property I want to sell you. Because you are nuts if you think that the young man or the young woman that you are looking at talks to their mama and daddy, the people who brought them into this world, gave them life, put the roof on their head, clothes on their back, and food in their belly, and treat them like a dog, but they're going to treat you any better. You're nuts. Just to be as honest as I know how to be. Listen, the principle is simple. You say, oh, but you don't know how his mom and daddy is. You don't know how her mom and daddy treat you. I don't care. It's not what it says. It says, honor your father and your mother. Jerry Cloud, great theologian. I don't know how many of you know Jerry Cloud. Great theologian. I heard him one time telling a story. And if you ever listen to Jerry Cloud much, you hear him talk about his mama. You hear him talk about uncles. You hear him talk about aunts. But you don't very often hear him say much about his father. And the reason for that is, in one of these, at one point, I heard him tell a story about his father. He said his father ran off when he was a very young boy and left him and his mother's sister, I don't know exactly how many were in the family, but ran off and left him. And said as he grew up to be a teenager, said they had a young lady who was, had a lady who was their housekeeper there, just godly black lady who kept their house for him. And said one day he was in the house, and he was just ranting and raving, talking about his daddy, how bad he was, how sorry he was, all this and all. And said she stopped and said, you wait a minute right there. Said the Bible says you honor your mama and your daddy. Doesn't say you honor your mom and daddy unless they ran off. Doesn't say you honor your mom and daddy for what? Says you honor your mama and your daddy. And he said, that stuck in my mind. He said, as I got older, said, I went off to college. Said, it stayed in my mind. He said, I began to look and began to think about that. And said, I began to make some calls and track down. And said, I finally located my father. And said, I went and found him and restored our relationship. And said, we had a great relationship up until the day he died. And he says, I stand here today to tell you, honor your mama and your daddy. It's a principle. No exception. There's no such thing as a perfect parent, and therefore, perfect parents don't have perfect children, so get over it. Honor your father and your mother. The problem is, most of us in our society today, we don't have a clue how to do that. We have no idea how to honor a father and a mother. I don't tell you all the principle, but I want you to see the practice. How do you honor a mother and a father? Three things that I think you need to see, three things I think you need to know. One of them is acceptance, one of them is appreciation, and one of them is affirmation. Three things, and they're really not, listen, they don't cost money, they're not real complicated, but here, mother, father, whichever one, here are three ways that you can honor and appreciate, honor your mother and your father. First one is acceptance. And you know, very simply, acceptance is just what it says is, you accept them for what they say, you know, for who they are. You know, you accept them for who they are. Not at all, just like they took you. You accept them with their flaws. You accept them. Proverbs says, listen to your father. Says, who gave you life. Do not despise your mother. I'll do something real quick, and I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you. If you're under 18, stand up. Or around that age, about 18 or so. All the young people, stand up. Not those who think you are or want to be. You have any idea what the New York Times, what statistics say it costs to raise a child from birth to 18 today? $222,000 and some change. If my full pay me back, you sit down. I want know you was looking at me. $222,000. And some change. That's close to $500,000 at your house, Tom. $222,000 and some change. When you get up $222,000, everything after that's change. Listen, what I'm telling you is your parents accepted you. You say, let me give you an even broader statement. Romans says, in Romans chapter 15, he says what? Accept one another. You know, we have to accept each other. Listen, acceptance doesn't mean you pretend they're perfect. Acceptance doesn't mean you ignore their flaws. It means you accept them for who they are. I want to tell you something. Most of you here today are old enough, you know, we accepted our children when they were burping and gambling and throwing stuff in the floor and bouncing it off the walls, waking us up in the night, waking their mamas up in the night. I woke up once. Twice. Once with David, once with Kenzie. The rest of them have slept all night long, all their life. Yeah. Listen, the parents accepted, and so we are. One of the things of honoring your parents is you accept them for who they are. So they're constantly pointing out their flaws, constantly trying to change them, constantly telling them that whatever. Let me tell you something. Here's what I believe with all my heart. I believe it's scripturally supported. I believe it's biblically solid. I believe God's in charge. Anybody disagree? You agree. Good deal. You're hooked now. You believe God's in charge. Well, here's what I believe. That God knew who your mother and father were going to be before you did. And here's what you need to understand about your mother and father. God picked them. Some of you are thinking that one through, man. If I let that one settle in. Some of you are saying God's a practical joker. You know. God chose them for you. God determined before time. God knew and placed you in that family. I don't believe it happened by chance. And so we are to honor our parents, we accept them. Whether they're a good parent or a bad parent is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is that they are your parent. Here's, I'm gonna use a sports analogy. Have you ever noticed? I've noticed this about sports. You have a coach of a team. And they will run that coach off. He's a sorry coach. He's a no-good coach. Let's run him off. That coach will go to another team, and he'll be a great coach. He'll win championships. What happened? He got different players. You ever think your mom and daddy might be better parents if they had different players? See, the daddy side of me gets to preach today. You know, listen, we accept them for who they are. Listen, I'll give you an example. You ever been to court, ever watched a court show on television? Well, what do they say when they want to go up to the judge? What do the lawyers say when they want to go up to the judge? Your Honor. Now, let me ask you a question. Does calling the judge Your Honor mean he's not a philanderer? Does calling him Your Honor mean he's not the biggest cheat in town? Does calling Your Honor mean he's not dirty from the top to the bottom? Does calling Your Honor mean he isn't an embezzler, a smuggler, a drug addict, a drunk? No. It means that lawyer respects his position and says to him, Your Honor. That's exactly what it means when we accept our parents and we give them honor. We accept them for the position they have. You know, they may not do everything perfect. You know, I'll tell you something. Your parents did not, will not, have not done everything perfect, but they are your mother and father. Deal with it. They've had to deal with you. Hey, I recognize that voice. You're talking about your mother, right? Not your son. Gotcha. I understand that. You accept them for who they are. Second thing that's involved in honoring your parents is you appreciate them. You know the difference in acceptance and appreciation? Acceptance means you accept them for what they do wrong. And appreciation means you acknowledge what they do right. You know, but most of us, think back. If you go back to when you were younger, most of us, we were quick to figure out real quick what was wrong with our mom and daddy. They weren't hip. They weren't with it. They didn't like our music. They didn't like our clothes. They didn't like our hairstyle. Think about it. I don't care who you are. Your parents didn't like your music, your clothes, and your hairstyle. They never have. They never will. I don't like theirs. My parents didn't like mine. Your parents, yeah. That's just the way it works. We don't like their clothes, their music, and their hairstyle. It just always, that's just who we are. We just pass that on. Okay? But appreciation means that not acceptance means we accept them for who they are, they didn't write. But to honor means, to appreciate them means we appreciate what they do. We give them credit for what they do right. Again, remember this, it cost your parents $222,000 to raise you till you were 18. And again, adjust that for, you say, well, I'm older than that. Okay, but you adjust it for inflation and everything else. Still, that's the number. You appreciate them for what they did right. You know, think about it. When's the last time we simply thanked our parents, you know, for saying, thanks for putting up with me? For some of us, that should be a way bigger thank you than others. Don't say anything. Appreciate them for what they did right. We're quick to point out the things that they did wrong. We're quick to point out the ways they, you know, listen, let's be honest. There is not, you know, I don't want you to raise your hand. There is not a person in this room, I just about guarantee it, that at some point in their childhood didn't look at one of their little friends riding their new bike, living in the house, having new clothes, da, 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 this, that, and the other thing, and look and say, oh, they were my mom and daddy. I got news for you. There's not a person in whose parents didn't look at that kid going down the road going, oh, it was mine, it's sort of that one I got. It goes both ways. We appreciate them. We affirm them. We accept them for what they do wrong. We appreciate what they do right. And finally, we have affirmation. You know what honor simply means in Hebrew? It means to give glory. It means to honor them. It means to treasure your parents. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I've stood and I've watched this with my own eyes. I don't care how much you spend on the funeral. It won't make up for what you didn't do when they were living. I've seen it with my own eyes. Let's give mama, let's give daddy the fanciest, finest funeral money can afford. It won't make up for what you didn't do when they were living. Listen, there's a principle. Honor your father and your mother. There is a practice. You accept them, you appreciate them, you affirm them, you treasure them, you honor them. And then finally, there's a promise. The end of this verse, the only commandment with a promise. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long on this earth. As I was talking to some friends this week, we were talking about what we're going to preach for Mother's Day, because honestly, I think if you go out and ask most preachers, we'll tell you we despise preaching on Mother's Day, because what do you say that hasn't been said? You know, there's no way to say anything good enough about mamas in most people's eyes. Yeah, you heard what happened a while ago when I said I was going to beat up on mama today. And Martin says, it's been nice knowing you. You know, and you just don't do that. There's no way. You can never get it right. You can't go far enough in talking about mamas. And so we were talking what we were going to do, and I told him this was going to be my text. And somebody asked him, what are you going to do with that line that says that your days will be long? Because all of us know there are plenty of really good children who have honored their father and mother who died young. There are plenty of children who are snakes in the grass who live to be 80. It just, you know, so what is God saying? I think what we have here is a provision, not a promise. It's like the proverb that says, train up the child in the way he should go, and he'll not depart from it when he's old. It's a general proverb. I believe what God is really saying to us here, when you look at that, is God is telling us that a healthy home leads to healthy living. You know, that you will enjoy your days in the land. You know, it's amazing to me that God said, honor me, don't use my name in vain, don't do this, don't do that, don't kill, don't steal, don't cheat, don't do all these things, but if you will honor your father and mother, you'll be happy. You'll have a good life. As I understand it, it's one of Grimm's fairy tales, Grimm's stories. Stories of a man and his wife. And the man's father gets up in years and finally has to come and move in with his son and daughter-in-law. The man is up in years and he shakes, his eyes twitch and jerk. And every time they sit down to eat, he jerks and he tends to bang his silverware and his plate together, and sometimes he spills it, sometimes he misses his mouth, sometimes it ends up in the floor, sometimes it ends up on him. It's just generally a mess at dinner time, at every meal time. It's just generally a huge problem. Again, he dribbles the food down, gets it on the tablecloth, just generally makes a mess every time he eats. And he doesn't have anywhere else to go but to his married son's home. And this goes on for a while, and finally his daughter-in-law just snaps. She just can't take it anymore. She says, I can't stand this anymore. I can't sit down to eat. I can't enjoy a meal. You've got to do something. He's messing up my right to happiness. It's horrible. You've got to do something. And so they take the man, they take him, they lead him over, and they put him at a little table in the corner. And they put his food on the table, and that's where he eats. And ever so often they catch him looking back over his shoulder at them at the table. Well, he only gets worse with age. And he begins one day, finally as he shakes, he knocks his bowl off on the floor and shatters the bowl. Just busts it to pieces. And the wife is just upset. And so they go out and they get some wood and they build him basically a trough. And they pour his food in the trough so he can eat out of it. And then if he knocks it off, it won't bust. He can just eat out of the trough. They have a 4-year-old son. One day the man's walking through the house and he sees his 4-year-old son sitting in the floor playing with blocks. He's moving the blocks around, working on the blocks. He's just really intent on what he's doing. The father watches him for a little bit and he's just amazed at his attention, confused at what he's doing. He keeps watching for a little bit and he looks up at his, finally he interrupts his son. He says, son, he says, what are you doing? What are you doing? The son looks up with a smile on his face, waiting for approval, and he says, well, Daddy, he said, I'm building a trough for you and Mom so I have somewhere to feed you when I get buried. Honor your father and your mother. Your life will be happy. Some of you here this morning, you need to come to this altar and you need a meal. Perhaps your parents are already gone, passed away. You need to come and say, Lord, forgive me. Father, forgive me for what I didn't do. I promise you this, there's not a person in here, regardless of the relationship they had with their parents, who wouldn't take one more day to just tell them, just spend one more day with them. So you need to come this morning and kneel and say, Lord, forgive me. I can't go back in time and I can't fix it. But God, I can teach others. I can make the most of the time I have. Some of you here, you have a chance to do something different. You have the opportunity. Your parents are still living. You need to come and say, Lord, teach me to honor. Teach me to accept. Teach me to affirm. God, help me to honor my parents. Some of you here this morning, parents, you need to come to me and say, Lord, teach me. Help me to train my children. Help me to teach my children. Help me to train them.
you're here today, and most of all, you don't have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. You don't know Him as your Lord and Savior. You need to come this morning. Let us show you from God's Word how you can know Christ. Whatever God leaves on your heart, perhaps your mother's here, your father's here. You just want to get up and go to them. Put your arms around them, tell them you love them, apologize whatever God lays on your heart. Whatever God says to you, you do what He leads you to ask.